You don't want to forget that. Would you stand with me? We're going to be in Colossians, the book of Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 15 this morning. Message entitled Thanksgiving Soul, Thanksgiving Life. It's going to be on your screen, but I would invite you to turn to Colossians 3 and 15 because that's where we're going to be the majority of the time together. Would you read this along with me this morning, starting at verse 15? Here we go. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Thank you. You may be seated. I chose this passage because it's Thanksgiving weekend. And if you look closely, you probably realize this as you read, but in each of these three verses, Paul exhorts and encourages gratitude. Did that jump out to you? Every verse. I mean, look at the end of verse 15. Be thankful. The end of verse 16, with what? Gratitude in your hearts to God. Look at the end of verse 17. What's it say? Giving thanks to God the Father. These aren't afterthoughts that Paul just throws in there. Hear me now. This is the will of God for those of you who know Christ as Savior. 1 Thessalonians 5 spells it right out for us. It says, give thanks in what? In all circumstances, for this giving thanks in all circumstances is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I want to point out right away here at the beginning that the soul in this passage back to Colossians. Listen, thankfulness is a matter of soul transformation. We must become thankful people before we will truly give thanks. If you look at verse 15, talking about a matter of the soul here, it says, in your hearts, in verse 15. If you look at 16, it says, in you. And then you look at the end of verse 16, it says, in your hearts. So, in you, in your hearts, then and only then do we land in verse 17 with whatever you do. You see that? Thanksgiving is first formed within the soul. Then you'll be able to give thanks in whatever you do because you've become, from the inside out, a grateful person. Now, what I want to do at the beginning of this message today is spend a few moments. I want to encourage you on the inside this morning to become just a little bit to become this kind of person. First of all, I want you to think of something this morning in your soul about God that you know from His Word, about God and His relationship to you in Christ. I want you to think of the purpose that goes with that blessing, all right? And in the quietness of your heart, just between you and the Lord, I invite you, I'm going to give you a few moments silence here, I invite you to worship and commune with Him in thanksgiving about that something, about Him in His relationship to you in Christ. And I want you to thank Him for that. All right, let's just spend a few seconds here. You think about that and you commune with the Lord and talk to Him about it. Second thing I invite you to do this morning from the inside, I want you to think of this body of Christ this morning. I want you to think of something positive, okay? Now, I know there may be a few things that maybe you would rather be different than what they are. But let's put those disappointing things aside for a second and not dwell on them like we're prone to do. I want you to think of something true and something sincerely positive that you can focus your mind on, and I want you to thank God for this, His body of Christ here in Maple Rapids, all right? And if you're not from Maple Rapids or you attend a different church normally, that's fine. Think of something about your own fellowship in Christ and give thanks for that right now. The third thing I want to do this morning is I want to challenge you to a higher level of worship. And this one's not going to be easy. I want you to think of the most difficult, the most hurtful, the most painful, the most unjust thing that you might be going through right now in your life. And I want you to know that Jesus went through that sort of pain and travail within His soul also. He knows what it means to lose a loved one. He knows what loneliness feels like as He was abandoned at the greatest point of need at the cross. He knows what it's like to be exhausted. He knows the inner turmoil of being misunderstood. He knows the agony of abuse. He knows the pain of His own family thinking Him a madman. He knows the weight of sin. He knows rejection, He knows betrayal, He knows pain and suffering and death, even beyond what you could imagine. And I ask you this morning, can you be thankful to God that He understands? Can you be thankful to God that only He can bring about good from pain and suffering when Satan's goal is to bring about the destruction of your body and soul? Can you be thankful that He has entered into your suffering and has made it possible for you to enter into His? Paul said, I want to know Christ in the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So I invite you as a matter of choice, as a matter of your will, not as a matter of feeling necessarily, but I invite you in trust, knowing that God uses and is in everything. I invite you to be thankful to God, not for the pain of the circumstance that you're thinking about right now, but in the midst of the circumstance that you face. Can we spend a few seconds in that sort of prayer? All right, let's unpack the richness of this passage for a few minutes here before we head out the door. Let's go to Colossians, and I think we're going to experience, I pray that you'd experience the living water of His presence welling up from within your soul, and that it will splash out of your soul onto the body in thanksgiving. Let's begin with both verses 15 and 16. Let's make some observations here. Paul begins verse 15, and commands, let the peace of Christ do what? Rule in your hearts. And then in verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ what? Dwell in you richly. We got the peace of Christ and the word of Christ here. The peace of Christ, if we were to define that in its most simplest form, it would be this. Peace of Christ is at oneness with God. That's what it is. It's at oneness with God. But the context of the passage you need to know, you need to observe, is plural oneness. with each other. Do you see that? It says, let the peace of Christ, this oneness with God, rule in your hearts. But then it jumps right to, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. So it's got this personal peace with God, but it's collective in the body of Christ. Now, the word rule, where it says, let the peace of Christ rule, interesting word, it's only used here in the Bible. That Greek word is only in this passage. It's brabeo, and it means to act as umpire. If you were to look it up in Strong's, now that when you hear umpire, you think baseball, right? But they didn't have baseball in the first century, did they? So the idea of a contest really is something we can't be certain of here, but the idea of making a decision is definite. So what Paul's saying here is, if I could paraphrase it, he's saying, let your at oneness with God make the decisions as to how you respond to each other in the body of Christ. A person who's at one with God is going to respond to somebody else totally differently than one who isn't. So he's saying, don't quench or grieve the Spirit by reacting to each other in ungodly ways. Let keeping that ungrieved, unquenched presence be the deciding factor in how you relate to each other in each and every circumstance. You are one body. Don't divide the body. Be at peace with God and with each other. So if this morning, if you're offended by someone here, you got a problem with somebody here, the soul process for you in Christ would look like this. God's presence is the main thing. So I'm going to respond to that person, to that offense. I'm going to respond sincerely. I'm going to respond humbly. I'm going to respond obediently with that other person's needs in view, so that the power and the presence of Christ is not weakened in me or in this body by my reaction to this or to that person. You see, it's not about what you and I want, is it? Like James 4:1 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You know, we want our way. We want things to go a certain way. We have predetermined it's best for whatever reason. But it's not about getting my way. It's about the at-oneness, the peace with God and with each other, maintaining the power of the Spirit in those relationships so that we can do the will of God and not get distracted by the main thing, from the main thing, by lesser outer issues. And man, when you are living in the unquenched and ungrieved presence of God, and that is manifest in honest and vulnerable and healing relationships in this body, guess what happens? You become a thankful person. Like this passage commands, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The sad part of this, I think, is that there are a lot of people that name the name of Christ that have no idea what I've just said. And I think the reason is sometimes we are so caught up with our own fear of what we might look like that we have yet to be really real with God, and we don't live sometimes very real and authentically in this body. We tend to, and I think it's just human, sinful, fallen nature to wear that mask. And we'll never experience this peace that this passage talks about until we are honest with God and with God's people. If you live hiding and running from conflict and constantly offended and therefore distancing yourself from those people whom you have judged as offensive, then you'll never experience God's peace. What you will experience a lot of times on the heels of that soul mess is loneliness. As your soul, it does, it forms. Our souls will form around hurts and bitterness and anger of offenses. It doesn't have to be that way. Jesus died for those offenses. We can let the peace of Christ act as umpire. This at oneness with God be our impetus for our response instead of fleshly reactions. It's an awesome passage. One verse. Wow, just think. That's one verse out of the whole Bible. If we got our minds and hearts around that one verse, just one verse, it would be utterly amazing. We'd be transformed people because we'd be at one with God and at one in the body as a result of our oneness with God. It would be cool. But that's one verse. Let's go to the next one and see if there's more here. Next, Paul says in 16, let the what? The word of Christ, what? Dwell in you richly. I love this. That phrase, dwell in you richly, means to have ample room in the Greek. Abundant space. Abundant room. How many of us have a heart that sometimes is so crowded with desires for stuff and entertainment and works-related stuff and hobbies and things we, quote, enjoy, that we have lost room in our lives and in our souls for the Word of God? You know, we rarely read it. We don't memorize it. We don't meditate on it. We know it, the Word talks about how powerful the Word is to transform the mind and the life. We know that. But we're always just busy and distracted by the tyranny of daily needs and wants, and God's Word is rarely consumed, and God's presence rarely enjoyed, and the still small voice of God is rarely therefore heard. I'm preaching, you've heard me say this 100 times, my soul, your soul is made to think on God's Word. It's designed to feel passionately about God's Word and God's presence. It's made to choose to obey God's Word. But it's just so many times, and I'm speaking for myself, just flat out occupied by other things. It's just filled up, you know? There's just no room. Ample room? No, there's no room. And the Spirit just waits. Grieved, ignored, and His power to transform goes untapped. James 4:5, don't forget it, says the Spirit He caused to live in us. He caused to live in us. It's all about what He has done to make that happen. The Spirit He caused to live in us does what? It envies intensely. That Spirit of Christ, the presence of God, wants to be your everything. Because He deserves to be your everything. He longs to have ample room for the transforming Word of God in your life. But we know this. And I think the remedy for it is just, for me, in my life, looking back at however many years of professing to know Christ, I just need to stop and Sabbath sometimes. I just need to, as a matter of my will, say, you know what, all that other stuff is on hold. God, I'm going to give you this time, and reorient things. I'm just going to take the clutter out of my mind and soul for an extended time here and take inventory. I'm going to repent and I'm going to return. I'm going to begin to give you room so you can develop in me and grant me the craving for the pure spiritual milk like Peter commands us to do. Because listen, I know from experience that when the Word is crowded out of my life, so is the song that the rest of this passage talks about. The song is crowded out of my soul. 16 is talking about the Word in your heart, therefore the truth on your lips, and a song in your soul. And if you live true-faced with the Lord, you're going to have that song and that gratitude. But without the Word, I don't have that. I don't have that. And when I say the Word, I don't just mean the written words on this page. I'm talking about the dynamic of the Word of truth and the Spirit of truth together. Because I can't get this. I don't understand this apart from the Spirit. So I'm not just talking about a book and then this mystical woody-woody with the presence of God there. I'm talking about the truth of the Word of God and the Spirit of God working together in my mind when I give Him room to do so. And without that, I get cluttered up and pretty miserable. But whenever in my life I have made ample room then for the Word of God to dwell in me richly, man, church, Psalm 19 comes to life so abundantly and fast. Listen to Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord, some of you may know this, so fill in the blanks. I know it's not on the screen, but fill it in. The law of the Lord is what? Do you know it? Perfect. What does it do? Reviving the soul. Right there. Boom. That happens. But that's not all. The statutes of the Lord, you know what else they are? They are trustworthy. They make wise the simple. Even somebody as simple and dense as right here standing before you. The precepts of the Lord, you know what they are? They're right. You know what they do? They give joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord, they are radiant. They give light to the eyes. That's what I see when I look into Angie's eyes. Light. And I see the Holy Spirit there. Just had a light in her eyes. And man, when you make room, then you got something to share. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Look at the outcome. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And that's when the song, man, the song returns as my soul is filled up with Him. And as you sing those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, I find myself overflowing with worship and with thanksgiving to this God who fills every nook and cranny of the room that I make for Him in my life. And then outflows the gratitude, with gratitude in your hearts to God. This is an awesome passage. Let the peace of Christ rule. Let the Word of Christ dwell. You live that on the inside. Then verse 17 comes to life on the outside. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. To do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What's that mean? It means you're doing that in His place. That's what it means. Listen to this next part. I really like this. It means you're living the way He would if He were in your shoes, because that's exactly what you desire most, for Him to be in your shoes. Isn't that good? I wrote that myself. It came from this mind right here. Can you believe that? I'm going to read that again just because I like it so much. It means you're living the way He would if He were in your shoes, because that's exactly what you desire most, for Him to be in your shoes, in you, with you in whatever you do. And then that whatever you do becomes eternal, see, in its significance. Because you live those moments in union, in the dance of the presence of God. You can gain glory for God and eternal reward, whatever you do. Taking out the garbage, building a fence, eating a meal, giving a cold glass of water to one who is thirsty. You know, if it's done in Jesus' name, in His place, as you are present time Christ conscious of His Word and His will and His worship in you. Folks, this is the gospel, isn't it? This is living out the gospel. God is out of the temple. If this were Easter, we could be talking about the temple, the veil, torn from top to bottom. We have access to God. God's coming out. God's coming out to live with you. Isn't that cool? He wants to make you a holy dwelling for His Holy Spirit so that you can literally do whatever you do in Jesus' name. As we close here today, are you at peace with God and with God's people this morning? Is the Word of God dwelling in you richly? A thanksgiving soul will yield a thanksgiving life as you live in Jesus' name. Church, man, let me tell you, we have so much in Christ to be thankful for. We have so much potential in Christ, don't we? In Christ. So much potential, so much to be thankful for beyond just our physical blessings, don't we? Let's pray. God, Father, thanks for this day, and thank you for this time we can fellowship together freely. And we can look at three little pieces of your word. It is so chock full of power and truth. Oh, wow. I pray that we heard it this morning. Beyond my weak mind and weak words, I pray that your word, the power and the strength of it came through to give encouragement, to give an invitation to peace, an invitation to dunk our souls and minds into your word and into your presence so that we can become not conformed to this world, but transformed. And man, once we start experiencing your will in us from the inside out, we really see for the first time how good and how pleasing and how perfect it is. Father, have your will within us. In Jesus' name, amen.